I'm going to talk about answering the call today. Everyone that's sitting here, we've been talking, God give the pastors the word at the beginning of this year that is the word for the year, that we have a call that needs to be answered. God has a plan, a purpose, and a will specifically for everybody's life. And we've been showing you how to step out, how to find out what that calling is, and give you the ability to be able to step out and do what God wants you to do. You're never going to be happy unless you're doing what God wants. Even if it's not easy, and it usually isn't, to tell you the truth. I'll be honest, it usually isn't. But you're not going to be happy unless you're doing it. I tried to run for years, and I was miserable. The only time I was ever happy was when I was stepping out and doing what God asked, even though it wasn't easy. Everybody, you don't get to choose your gifts. Before we're born, we're not handed a menu. It would be nice, like a Chinese, I'll take one from here, one from here. Doesn't work that way. God made us for a specific purpose. It's His choice. Our only choice is whether are we going to walk out in it or we're not. That's the only choice. You're never going to be happy unless you do. Amen? Now, if God asks us to do something, He, of course, is going to show us how to do it, right? Give us all kind of examples. And I think that I found one when I was reading. I love the book of Acts. I read that all the time. If I have nothing specific to read, I'll automatically turn to book of Acts. I just like it. Why? I don't know. But it's just something that in there that always touches my heart. That always I can always relate something in Acts to something that's going on here in our body. Amen? And the church as a whole. But in chapter 9, we have that up there. Yes, Acts chapter 9, we're going to read that. It may seem long, but it's not that long. But I think it's a perfect example of what to do when God calls, right? We need to know. Of course, Jesus is our example in everything, right? But I'm not going to use Him today because He had an unfair advantage. He was also God. I chose somebody that's flesh and blood, just like us, that was called and answered that call, and what steps he had to go through, because the steps that Paul went through in his conversion and calling are the same steps that you and I are going through, will be going through, and have gone through, right? All right. Everybody have their Bibles, a reasonable facsimile, or sitting next to somebody that does have a Bible, or as in Pastor Don's case, has it memorized. We're going to read it from Acts chapter 9. This is a story of Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that was a kind of a name they use in the early church for Christians, the way, is still the right way. It's the only way. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Now he puts a real blessing on him here. We all want to hear this prophetic word. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So I'll raise their hand and claim that one, right? Then Ananias went up to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't this a man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told him how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them, moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. There is a lot that happened to Saul. Would you show the next slide, please? Well, these are nice. Sarah does great work. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate you. I know I do. Everybody here, right? Give Sarah a hand. That's what makes a church great. It's not just the people that stand up here. It's the people like that that you never see hit up there in the crow's nest that do all the work, and we appreciate you. Accepting the call. The first thing Saul did was accept the call. It may sound obvious, but if your phone rings in your house, if you don't answer it, what happens? Nothing. You don't even know who's calling. Why they're calling? You have to accept the call. You have to pick that phone up and talk. You have to listen. You have to accept the call. It's not an easy call to answer sometimes. So often, and the first thing we tell a lot of people is, count the cost. Because you're signing up for a full-time job. There is no part-time jobs in the kingdom. So many of us would love that, wouldn't we? Have a part-time job in the kingdom, but get full-time benefits, right? It doesn't work that way. He wants all or nothing. No in-betweens. And like I've said many times, all he wants is your life. It may sound like a lot, but in my case, I cheated him. Life I had wasn't that good before him. I was very happy. He must be. He took it. And has changed it. Hopefully for the better. But when we answer that call, many times I've had people up here and have asked for a salvation prayer. There's times that I've told them, no. I want you to go home and pray. Come back next week. Some have come back. Some have been a month or two later, 3 months later. Some have never come back. But count the cost. It's better not to have done it than to have done it and failed. Because all it does is hurt you. Each time, I've told several people that this isn't the first time you've come up for a salvation prayer. Each time that you've failed, you've been harder on yourself. It's God's timing. That doesn't mean that God has given up on you. No. God doesn't give up on anybody. If he did, Sammy wouldn't be sitting here, would he? Don't laugh at Sammy. Could I have the next slide, please? Jesus closed Saul's eyes, but we need ours. When we receive that call, we need to close our eyes to the past because it was all lies. Our past life, we have to close our eyes to everything we knew because it wasn't real. We have to close our eyes to what we believed because it was wrong. We have to close our eyes to what we did because it was not right. Nowhere in the Word have I ever read about changing the past. Our focus is on the future. The decisions we make now is what gives us a bright future. We were in a hard spot usually when you come to Christ, and that was because of decisions we made years before, wasn't it? We need to close our eyes to that past. I know men especially are bad at this. We love to brag about how bad we were, right? Don't glorify your past. I only bring it up when it helps. I am not proud of my past in any way. What I want to be proud of is whatever future God has for me. Amen? Amen. Next one, please. Prayer and fasting. Carol, fasting. Fasting. I have no idea what that means. I say that because Carol is doing a class on the ladies. Well, no, it's you're not doing the class. Who is it? Jackie's doing the class. Yes, Made to Crave. This has nothing to do with the class. I don't even know why I brought it up. Just plug the class. It's a good class. Yes, she told me I was invited, so it's got to be a good class. Prayer and fasting. You notice that's two words. Prayer and fasting. What is fasting without prayer? It's a diet. God hasn't called anybody to a diet. Prayer and fasting. We talk about prayer. First thing we imagine is, I would ask you, last time you went in front of the Lord to pray, what was it? Like most of us, we probably have a list that we want to ask for, or a list we want to tell God of things that he needs to do, right? The best prayer is one where you don't say a word. What are you going to tell God? Keep your mouth shut and listen to him. That is the best prayer you can do. Where's Ray Silva? Ray Silva here? Still? He's teaching? Okay. He said the other day that he started praying, getting up in the morning and praying, God, here I am. Use me. He said he'll never do that again. No, just the opposite. He said it's changed his life. God has been using him in mighty ways. God is looking people to use. And that's the best prayer. God, here I am. Use me. Your will be done. Enough said. Right? He'll take care of the rest. And fasting. Fasting is for one thing, and that's getting us closer to God. It's not to get you skinny. It's to make your walk closer with God. I remember the story where the disciples were all praying for this demoniac, and they weren't doing any good. Nothing was happening. He said, Lord, Jesus just walked over and said, didn't even say a word, just touched him. Demon's gone. Well, what are we doing wrong? He simply said to him, This kind, meaning a very powerful spirit, only comes out through prayer and fasting. Now, does that mean, well, 5 minutes before I want to pray, 5 minutes before I want to do something, all I have to do is pray and not eat a meal, and then I'll be all strong? No. It's a lifestyle. That's what exactly what he was talking about. A lifestyle of prayer and fasting, a lifestyle that's getting you closer to God. That's how things get done. That's how you have a power in your life. And let's get serious. Fasting is not giving up spinach for a week. Well, I'm fasting reading the newspaper today. Boy, is that going to make me godly. Whew, isn't it? I haven't read the newspaper in a week. I can just feel the Holy Spirit all over me now. In the Word, when they talk about fasting, what are they talking about? Food. Plain and simple. Every fast that I read about was 1 day, 3 days, 4 days, 7 days, 40 days, and just two different kinds. Fasting food or fasting food and drink. Because that's something we have in common. We've all known those hunger pains sometime or another, right? For some reason. That's something we have in common when that old belly starts gnawing on the backbone. We know that feeling. That's not the kind of feeling. What do you do when you get full? Have a big old turkey dinner? Oh, I'm going to go lay down. When that hunger's gnawing you, no. You want to stay awake. That's what God wants. Not disciples that are sleeping. The disciples that are up and awake wanting to walk with him. Prayer. I love being in a church that is doing so well. I look around. About 100 people here. We have a prayer team up here every week. 4 people. They're anointed. They're not picked because they're pretty. Well, other than me. Because over the years, they've proven themselves. You know how many people come up here usually on a day? Sunday? 6 to 10. 10%. So what's that tell me? 90% of this church is doing so great they don't need any prayer. That nothing's going wrong with our lives. That everyone we know is saved. That everything we've ever wanted is being done. Is that true? Okay, we're going to have a prayer team up here today. We're going to put them to work today, aren't we? Amen? All right, could I have the next slide, please? Accept prayer for yourself. Saul didn't have to accept that prayer. He didn't know who this guy was. You know, we're all built to want to pray for somebody. We all love to lay hands and pray for somebody, don't we? But sometimes we're a little bit reluctant to get prayer for ourselves. Now, me, I'll take all the prayer I can get. Lord, have mercy. I need all the help I can get. I'll take prayer. I'm not saying get prayer from everybody. Be careful who you get prayer from. In some cases, know who you're getting it from. God told him that Ananias was coming. I don't let the prophetess of the laundromat lay hands on me and we go in agreement. But I don't look at the person giving the prayer either. Because I'm not asking them for anything. I'm going to God. I remember the story I think Pastor John has shared. Or was Pastor Don one? I think it was Pastor John. About an apostle in the church when we were in RCM Network, Tony Germano. Good friend of Pastor John's. I love the guy myself. He was quite a character. He was definitely used by God. He died of cancer. He was dying. It was so bad that in the last part of his life, they would barely lift him up and bring him from his bed to the couch. And there'd be a line of people there asking for prayer for healing. He said, you know, it felt ludicrous. Here I'm laying here dying, and people are coming to me for prayer. He said, but then God told me, isn't it? They're not coming to you, Tony. They're coming to me. They can see you, that you're a man that I used. So don't look at the person that's doing the prayer. Look who is answering the prayers. Amen? That's what Saul did. Could we have the next slide, please? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I shouldn't have to say anything on this, should I? I'll still never forget that when I first came to the church, Pastor John was a deacon and running a home meeting. I was honored to be a part of that meeting, but he used to end every meeting He would sum things up. He said, well, I guess we can sum it up that it boils down to three things. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. You know, he was absolutely right. That has not changed a bit. Jesus said, you will do greater things because who I am sending after me. That's the Holy Spirit. We as Christians are designed to have the Holy Spirit. Imagine the world, the natural world right now that we're walking around. It's designed for people with sight, isn't it? Imagine how hard it is to get around in this world that's designed in the natural for people with eyesight if you don't have eyesight. It can be done, and done pretty well. You see people that do amazing things that are blind. But think of how much more they could do if they had sight. Think of how much more we can do with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit constantly. Nobody should ever be full of the Holy Spirit except for just a very short time. Because the minute you get filled, you're supposed to go out and give it up, right? Drain yourself to almost empty, then run back in and get filled up again. Acts speaks of that. They were filled with the Spirit. And what did they do after they get filled? Well, they sit back and talk, you know. No. They went out and started using it. You can do nothing aside from the Holy Spirit. Except maybe. It's not a prerequisite for being saved. You can be saved and go to heaven without the Holy Spirit. But that's not even easy. I've met plenty of people, good people, that are saved, but are belong to some church that doesn't preach in the Holy Spirit, teaches that the Holy Spirit isn't for today. Those people have the hardest time. Oh, Bob. Oh, I'm just hanging on. When Jesus comes back, it'll be all right then. If I can just hang on. Well, that man's going to change the world, isn't he? I don't think so. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be conquerors. To go back and steal what the enemy stole. Take a little extra. Something that he's owned forever. Steal it. But we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. Open your eyes to the truth. When Ananias come and laid hands on him, Saul's eyes, I keep calling him Paul, Saul at this time. But you know what I'm talking about. His eyes were opened. Same way when we answer the call, remember I said earlier that God closes our eyes to the past, right? Past lies, past deceptions. But then he turns around and opens them to what? To a new world, a new life, a new hope. The word says to repent. That means to turn 180 from what you were doing and do just the opposite. Repentance is talking about a mindset. What our mindset should be is what Pastor Don was speaking on this morning. A biblical worldview. Everything we do once we open our eyes is what God wants, what God directs. Everything is about God or everything is against God. One or the other. But we need to take that complete change in our life. We need to see that 180, complete turn. Did it happen in Paul's life? Of course. From killing Christians to being a Christian. I would call that a 180 turn, right? But I see that here. I know a lot of people here that I know their past stories. Brian shared Saturday at the men's meeting, it was a great teaching about a changed life. I see all kind of changed lives here, and that's a good thing. What's your name? What was that?
Matthew.
Oh, nice biblical name. I know you come with Brian. You're a friend of Brian's. Who is it? No, Sammy. That's right. Sammy's your friend? You need to come up at the end here for some prayer. All kidding aside, you do need to come up some prayer. There's a real call on your life. You're meant to be more than just a pew warmer or a part-time person. You have a real call for leadership on your life. And you know it. You've just been running from it. You know there's something missing in your life that you've been searching for. You've just been searching in all the right wrong places. You're finally in the right place. It wasn't by coincidence that you got stuck with this yo-yo where you can't get away from him, right? That was God's hand in your life. Amen? All right. Anybody want to know what the truth is? I'll tell you, turn around and look. Person sitting next to you, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the answer to everything. We have the answer to everything. You have a problem? I have an answer. Don't think you don't have anything to give. You have the words of life to give. Your choice is whether or not to give them. And that should be an easy choice. You wouldn't be sitting here unless somebody did it for you, right? How many people fell off the turnip truck, like we were talking about this morning, and fell out into a church other than Jerry? No one. Someone took the time and effort to open their mouth. Would you go to the next one, please? Know what you are called to do. God told Ananias what Saul's calling was, what to go pray over him, didn't he? You're going to be my voice to the Gentiles. Every one of us are sitting here, if we checked our lineage back, our DNA, to Paul almost. Right? Somebody converted somebody that we're all sitting here today. Peter actually started it out, but it was Saul that had the real anointing, the real call by God to reach out to the Gentiles. Because the table was a little bit loose, a little bit empty. He invited his chosen people. Not all come. He had plenty of room at the table. He's not going to waste food. It was poured out to us, thank goodness. Right? But it's very important. And I like the part there. I kind of kidded when I said, he said to let Paul know how he's going to suffer on my behalf. Now, that's a great prophetic word, isn't it? I love you, Paul. I'm going to let you suffer. Oh, thank you, Lord. And they all did suffer unto death. But so what? They died. They were killed. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Everybody sitting in here today, sometime you're going to die for some reason or another. So why not pick the right reason? I'd be happy to die for Christ. Of course, I'd be happy to die in my sleep of old age. Lord knows every morning that old Irish prayer every morning when I get up and yawn, if I don't hit wood, it's going to be a good day. But we know that there's a calling on our life, and it's individual. We're not going to go into that. We've touched on that so many times. There's so many different ways to know that, right? Through the prophetic word. How many people here have ever had a prophetic word from God? Everybody, raise your hands. Come on. You can also go by the written word. It tells us what to do. How many people here are members? Raise your hand. When you were set in, did people come up and have words for you? Do you remember those words? Most of us got a recording of them. God speaking on us on what our calling was what a lot of them were about, wasn't it? We know, without a doubt, what God has called us to do. Young man in the back, with a, is that a cross around your neck? You come with Brian, didn't you? Okay, I got confused, I'm sorry. God just said to tell you that he's heard your prayers, that you are a real prayer warrior, that you do a lot of praying for people that they never know about it. But God hears that, and he's going to honor that. Amen? All right. Called to do. That's why I always love to say that being a Christian is simple, but not easy. Simple in that all we have to do is what God asks us to do. But that's not always easy, no. No. But it's simple. He says, we do. Of course, there's a few things like listening, wanting to hear. A lot of people, when they come up and say, well, God hasn't spoke to me. What you're saying is, well, God hasn't told me what I want to hear. Go to the next slide. Baptism. I was going to pull out an old picture, and I forgot about it, of me being baptized here in the church. But I didn't want to do that to Pastor Don. He kind of looked like Don Johnson or something. Had the head of hair, the big Fu Manchu mustache. Pastor John and I had dark hair and a little bit more of it. But baptism is important. Saul immediately got up and was baptized. It's important. We do baptisms all the time. We have a baptismal back there. It's something that you should do. It's an outward sign of the old man dying The old man closing his eyes. When you go into that water, you close your eyes, don't you? And the minute you grow, you come back up, you're spitting water and opening your eyes to see where you're at. It's the old man dying, the new man coming up. It's something that we should do. But it's not a prerequisite for salvation. You can go to heaven without being baptized. Pastor John, I know, has spoke many times about going in the hospital and praying for people. And they've turned their life over to him. And sometimes just moments, they pass away, don't they? Well, they're not going to heaven because they weren't baptized. Exactly. Listen, okay. Of course not. And I was going to use the same analogy that Pastor John just said there, in case you didn't hear him. The thief on the cross. What did Jesus say to him? Get down off this cross, go get baptized, and you'll be saved. No. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Right? These aren't my words, they're his words. But it's something we should do because it's a pattern. God says, as soon as you can, get baptized. It's a right thing to do, and we do that. But there's too many churches that teach fallacy about that. There's churches that teach if you're not baptized, you don't go to heaven. There's churches that teach if you are baptized, you're going to heaven no matter what you do after that. They're both wrong. I think we might have one coming up soon. We haven't had one in a while. I know we've had a couple membership classes. Usually after we have a couple membership classes, we have a baptismal. So we probably got one coming up pretty soon. Amen? Could I have the next one? Fellowship with believers. You remember automatically he started hanging with the disciples in Damascus. He got to Jerusalem. He wanted to hang out with the disciples there, right? Too many people, when they turn their life over to Christ, go back to their old ways, their old places, their old friends. Now, they might even have a good heart about it. Well, you know, there's seven of us, always hung around together. Now I've got saved. I'm going to go back and hang with those six guys and get them all saved. You go back in a year, do you think there's going to be now seven saved people? Probably not. Just the opposite. What do we have in common now? Our fellowship, we should want to hang around with other Christians. We should desire that. We need to go out in the world. There's nothing wrong with having friends. I have plenty of friends that aren't saved. But my fellowship and my brothers are right here. This is where I want to be. That's why I'm here. That's why I come out on Thursdays, come out on Saturdays, whatever. I try and make it out for just about everything. Nobody can make it to everything, but I try to make it out as much as I can. Because I want to be. Pastor Don is a great example of that. He's always going out. He's always here looking. He loves Christian fellowship. That's something that we should all desire. Saul desired that automatically after that, didn't he? The people that he hated and wanted to kill, he now wanted to hang with. Go to the next slide, please. Proclaiming the gospel. He said he immediately got up after prayer and fasting 3 days and did what? Started proclaiming the word of God. But Paul was, you know, he knew the word. He had that great background. He could do that. I just got saved. I don't know what to do. Hello? He says, be a witness. You're not called to be an evangelist, a pastor, or something read off, but you can be a witness. You know what the best witness was? Didn't say a word. Do you remember when the apostles healed the crippled man that had been crippled for a generation, probably about 40 years, right? I love that story that they've got him in front of the Sanhedrin. They're chastising him for what he's doing, saying, how can you do it? Why did you do this? And that guy that's been crippled for 40 years just stand back there dancing, right? He didn't know how to be a witness, did he? He didn't know a thing about the Word of God. Do you think he was used? Heck yeah. Probably still is. You don't hear anything more about him, but I think that what a great witness. This guy lived here for 40 years. Everybody knew him. He's walking around. What a great witness. Right? But now, don't take that too far. I hear a lot of people always say, well, I let my walk be my witness. I go out and witness, and sometimes I open my mouth. That's wrong. That's not the right way to do it. For the crippled, it was the right way. But we need to open our mouth. If not, how do they know why we're doing something? Pat Stevens back there. How you doing, Pat? Pat, known him for 100 years. He's 200 years old. I've known him for 100 years. Before, Pat's a great guy. But you know something? Before he was saved, he was a great guy. Other than he didn't know Jesus. He was a fair man, an honest man, a good family man. He's just a great guy. I mean, he didn't walk on water. He still don't. He fell out of your boat a couple times, but we won't go there. He was a nice guy. You know? He was a nice guy. Hell is full of nice guys. You need to open your mouth sometimes. I know my wife, I make her mad all the time. She hates to go anywhere with me. I tell you a story about somebody says something, well, thank you, what a nice guy you are. I use that story of CVS drugstore up here. Lady, give me $5 too much. I said, excuse me, give me $5 too much. Oh, you're such a nice man. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm saved, though. I have God in my life. If not, I'd probably be robbing the place. Security guards going for his gun, you know. My wife got her purse over her head walking out. I remember the story of a guy in college. They were roommates. One day the guy's sitting there, he's doing his homework. The other guy runs in. Oh, whoa, he just come from a campus crusade. Man, I just received the Lord. I just got saved. He's just beaming. And the other guy looks up and said, well, that's great. And he starts preaching to him. He said, well, I don't need it. He said, I'm saved. I've been saved for about 12 years. He looked at him and said, I didn't know. He said, well, didn't you see that I didn't drink? I didn't have women in here. I was a good person. And he said, just that. He said, oh, no, I just thought you were a good person. You've got to use both. Your actions and your mouth. You know, to fight faith or works, you need both. You need to live the good life and to show it, but you need to tell the people why I'm leading this good life. Amen? That was proclaiming the gospel. Last one. Speaking boldly. Speaking boldly. That is a lost art in the church. Sorry to say. Churches will teach you, man, you need to learn your word. You need to join a ministry. You need to go out and share. Fearlessly and boldly, though, isn't mentioned. We're turning out too many people that are crossed between Joel Osteen, Barney, and Mr. Rogers. I was going to say nothing against any of them, but that's not true. I have a lot against them. That is not the person that God wants us to be, man or woman. I'll give you an example. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You can be bold and still humble. Bold means you believe what you're saying. You're not going to change your mind. I've had some people, I love when people come up. Is Matthew here? No? He was? Oh, he's in class? We were at, up on the hill, and, you know, we were going somewhere, I forget where, but the bus pulled up and had this bunch of kids. You could tell they were from some Baptist church. I forget the name of it. If I know it, I wouldn't even name it. But they all started out heading to the doors and stuff. I said to Matthew, let's have some fun. So I'm just walking by. Hi, would you like a track? A what? You know, they started talking. I started talking back to them. You know, we got a conversation going. They knew nothing of the Word of God. They were stuck out there. You know why? They couldn't be bold because they had nothing to back it up with. You can step out boldly if you know what you're talking about. You have to have that backing. That's why our pastors have so much going on that teach you the Word of God. That's where our boldness comes from, not from anything within me. I can speak boldly because I know what the Word of God says. That's all. That's the only reason. I'm not Barney. I love you. You love me. No. I'll boldly say that there's things that God hates. Right? We serve a God of love, but there's things that He hates. You have to preach the whole Word. Another one, Acts 18:26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Acts 19:8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly. Acts 14:3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. I think that's trying to tell us something, isn't it? We're to be bold for the Lord. We see Muslims running around the world boldly doing things, don't we? Are they ashamed of it? Why should we be ashamed to speak out boldly for our God? The one true God, the only God. The one that should be spoke for boldly. Right? I just named 10 things there that Paul went through and did to answer the call. Every one of those we also need to do. Over and over. It's not like a one-time deal except for the first one, accepting the call. Once we accept that call, there was 10 other things that we need to do. Sometimes we need to do them daily. We need to revisit them. Right? Because we are called. It's a serious calling. I'd like to end with one scripture here. Romans 8, starting at verse 28. And we know, now he's talking, you know who he's talking about here? Us, the person sitting next to you, the person sitting next to them and yourself. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he has also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he has also glorified. That's us. We have everything that we need to answer the call, to go out and spread the gospel. All we have to do is do it. Do we have a hand mic here? Brian, come here. Could I have the, as Brian's coming up here, could I have the prayer team come forward, please? Right there, brother. I don't know what you did today, but you must get up and prayed about use me today, because God wants you to close in prayer. Amen? As he closes in prayer and as the prayer team comes up, pray about your walk, your answer to the call. If there's something there that needs revisited, a step that you missed, come on up for prayer. Amen? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the very fact that you never leave us in doubt, Father, that you have given us your word, that you give us your understanding and knowledge in so many ways that you do not leave us in the dark, Father God. That, Lord, you want us to be all that you've called us to be and even more, Father. And now I ask Brian if he would close us.
Lord, you've given each one of us your Holy Spirit, Father God, and you've given us that boldness already. It lives and dwells inside of us. Your Holy Spirit does, Lord. Father, I pray that we would meditate on this word that Bob has given us today, Lord, and revisit it, listening it over and over online, Father God. Father, I pray that we would be bold as brothers and sisters here in Christ, Lord God, and speak when you tell us to speak. Don't speak when you tell us to be silent, Lord God. And Lord, that we'd get into your word, get into your presence, Father God. And Lord God, we just praise you, we worship you, we honor you, Lord God. Let us honor you in everything that we do, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.